an insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
There goes Henry up a big running game. It's Dallas. Derrick Henry on the run. Henry Lewis chasing at the 40, at the 30. He will score.
And pitches to Allen. Got traffic. And the ball's knocked out. It's a fumble. It's a live ball picked up by Kyle Hamilton of Baltimore. So Buffalo went to the tricks. And Allen had it knocked out of his hands.
Got it from the 9. No, fake it. Lamar Jackson's going to take it.
Mike Tirico, NBC on the call. Lamar Jackson accounted for 3 touchdowns last night, 2 passing, 1 running, as the Ravens blow out the Buffalo Bills 35-10. Lamar 13 of 18, 156 yards, 2 TDs, as we said, was only sacked 1 time. Quarterback rating of 135.4. He rushed for another 54. Back-to-back weeks, Vinny, where he threw less than 20 passes, completed the vast majority of them, and his quarterback rating was 130+.
Bob, how about in the second half? He was 2 of 5 passing second half. You know, so, I mean, that's pretty crazy. I mean, that tells me that you're winning and you're just running the football out back like 2019. And I think that's what they got to do right now to win. And I think... they're going to continue. I think, again, this next week against Cincinnati, Bob, I could see them rushing. Again, I could see Henry having 20 carries or plus again in this one. And Lamar probably having maybe a carry or two more.
Derrick Henry, 24 for $1.99, averaged 8.3 per carry, 87-yard TD. Also caught a touchdown pass from Lamar Jackson. But Mitch in New Jersey brought up Justice Hill, 4 for 18 on the ground. But how about another 6 in the air for 78 yards and a touchdown? Justice Hill, you know, kind of a forgotten guy in previous seasons, now a very prominent part of this Ravens offense right now.
Yeah, I'm Bob. And 6 targets, 6 catches. So, I mean, they were on. And when he ran, those draw plays and stuff, and how about the one that he made? Because the one was the third down. He made the first down, and he had to make one guy miss and then break a tackle, too. I thought he had a hell of a game.
Now, don't want to turn this into a complaint fest, but we do have to point out the obvious. When you only throw the ball 18 times, complete 13, not everybody eats. Some people have to starve or maybe readjust their roles. Mark Andrews, 1 target again yesterday, dropped, which would have been a first down pass and then some. And Isaiah Likely, after that brilliant opening game performance against the Kansas City Chiefs, where it looked like he was going to be a star.
Yeah.
His target share has been limited the next 3 weeks as well. But the bottom line is they won 2 of those 3 games. So Bateman only 1 target. Flowers only 2. Aguilar 3. I don't know. What are we saying here? Any reason for complaints yet?
Not yet, because they're winning. I mean, if you go in, if you complain now, you look kind of like a jerk because we've won 2 games in a row.
Yeah.
The thing about it, Bob, is when I looked at, like, Likely played 31 snaps, Andrews played 26, and Charlie played 19. So the 3 tight ends played quite a bit. But, yeah, if they were losing a couple games now, then the receivers may. Because, Bob, receivers, they want to catch the football. They want the ball in their hands. And, you know, like Zay had over 100 targets last. You know, he was getting the ball a lot last year.
Yep.
So, no complaining yet because they're winning. So I think all good right now, but eventually they're going to have to throw it more.
But let me ask you this, off the record, or within the confines of the living room, or there maybe grumbling going on a little bit? Like, man, I was open like 17 times, and I only got 1 target. What the hell is going on around?
I would say probably in the receiver room, they in the tight end room, when they're all together, they probably... I mean, Bob, yeah, because I've said this before. Like, when I was a player at Iowa State, we had Dwayne Crutchfield. We ran the ball all day. And the only time I got balls was on Tuesday during Pascal. You know? So That's probably what they say out at practice. You know, hey, I'm all pro today. You know, because I know I'm not getting it on Sunday.
Kyle Hamilton led the team in tackles with 7. Marlon Humphrey and Roquan Smith had 6 each. Kyle Van Noy, 2 sacks. Adafe Owe had another. Kyle Van Noy right now, as we head into tonight's games. Aiden Hutchinson, he's yet to play, but he's got 6.5. Kyle Van Noy, 2nd in the NFL in sacks through 4 weeks.
Yeah, and he is playing so much better than he played last year. And we talked about, you know, we always talked about, well, how's he going to be without Clowney? Playing pretty damn good without Clowney. And always stepping up his game, too. I mean, always showed up a lot. I mean, he hit the quarterback. He had some quarterback hurries. So it's just a matter of time. And you know what? Next week, both of them are going to have a chance to feast. Because Orlando Brown, that outside speed, that causes him a lot of problems. And on the other side with Mims, the craftiness of Van Noy, that's going to be having him all kind of messed up.
Owe 3.5 sacks here in 2024. Remember, his career high is 5. 13 for his career coming into the season. Vinny at 81.05.7 The Fan, NFL Lunch. Before we get out to the phones, Justin Tucker, no field goals attempted. He was 5 for 5 with the extra points, and all of them perfect, it seemed.
And, Bob, the week before, they were all perfect, too.
Right.
So that part of it? No, that's good. And I hope that he left the game feeling pretty good about himself. Because that only benefits the Ravens. And he says all the right things. And we're not going to know till he has another chance at a 50-plus yard field goal.
All right, let's get out to the phones. Hear what the people have to say. 410-583-1057 is the number. Go to Shiloh in West Baltimore. Shiloh, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Man, good afternoon, folks. Hey, you know what? Hey, Vinny, man. I love that win, right? Hey, I want to touch bases back on what you were saying about the receivers, right? Now, even though we winning, right, if they don't start passing that ball, do that start, some grumbling in the locker room, because the guys going to feel like they're not, like you said, they're not eating, they're not getting their stats up, they're not really being involved in the offense. I'm not complaining at all. But then how do you balance that type of offense off? I mean, I know you run first, right? I know you run first, but you got to feed those guys some type of way. I'm not complaining at all. I'll take the win. Before you answer that question, really real fast, I want to get the Ravens Day props, right? So they only held Buffalo to 7 points in the second half, man. They doing a good job. I like it because at the end of the day, we know how they've been in the second half. So the same way I call and complain, that even with the O-line, they held their own. So I'm calling them, giving the teams their props today, because sometimes I call them when I'm mad. I'm going to call them, giving their props. And I say this, man, like, all we can do is get better, though. We can get better, because I feel like we can easily be 4-0 right now for those 2 games that we lost. But at the end of the day, I like how they slapped around last night. And guess what? Go Ravens, go up to Cincinnati, and get the win next week. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
All right, Shiloh, thank you for the call.
Yeah, they could easily be 4-0, but with what they had to go through, are they better off now because of that? You know, what did they learn from that? I don't know. Maybe they would be better off being 4-0. Would they have played Buffalo the same way if they were 3-0 at the time? Who knows? But the receivers, I could see some quick screens coming. You know, and that, I thought Todd Monken called an awesome game with his bootlegs, and because he had them totally off balance with his passes and stuff. So I would imagine some more stuff will be incorporated, and they're going to have to throw. You know, I don't think they're going to be running over people like they're running over everybody like that. And the nicest thing is you know, it's third and short most of the time.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, shift to baseball, talk about the AL playoffs. Also talk about today's doubleheader between the Mets and the Braves. We'll get back to your phone calls, bottom of the hour. We'll look at our picks for this weekend as well. And we'll look ahead to the schedules just a little bit. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw coming up around 1:45 or so. Then it's Inside Access coming up at 2. Remember, we're going to be down at Pickles Pub tomorrow, getting you ready for the Orioles and the Royals.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto,
the Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
And beyond. Orioles win yesterday 6-2 over the Twins. Sweep Minnesota. Finish the regular season. Winners of 5 of 6. Go into the playoffs in a little bit of a heater there. What's going on over there?
Well, I was telling him McAfee's going to be on Kyle Hamilton's going to be on McAfee.
Okay. And we got Kansas City 4-2 over. By the way, Orioles 6-2. They win the series 3 games, 5 of 6. They go into the playoffs hot. They finish the month of September with a winning record after losing records in July and August. McCann hits a homer. Kerstad hits a missile to center field. Albert Suarez got the win. But as we talked about earlier in the show, Matt Weyrich, he might not be on the wild card roster because he might be the starting pitcher for game one against the Yankees in the ALDS. All of this will become an official thing here in the next day or so. But Orioles are in the playoffs, taking on Kansas City. Now, the Royals, they get that number three, or the number two wild card, if you will, the number four seed, or five seed, because they beat Atlanta yesterday because this guy decided he wanted to hit a three-run homer.
Line deep right field. 3-0 Royals on a bomb from Michael Massey in the first.
Bally Sports, 4-2 was the final score. Michael Massey, 3-run jack there. So the Kansas City Royals make the playoffs for the first time since 2015 when they won the World Series, beating the Mets in that one. Detroit, they were playing as well as any team in baseball and still are heading into October. But yesterday wasn't their day because White Sox sucked, but they looked like the 83 White Sox yesterday.
Sosa lifts it high in the air to left center field. It is out of here. Lenin Sosa putting on a show to end the regular season.
3-run jack, 9-5 was the final score. The White Sox win that one. NBC Sports Chicago on the call. The White Sox finish the year 41-121.
Woo!
One of the worst teams in the history of baseball now because they do a little lottery for the draft. They're not even guaranteed to get the number one pick. A lot of speculation is it's going to be Jackson Holliday's brother as the number one pick in next year's draft. Arizona trying to BG's it up, staying alive. And, you know, a guy that was an MVP candidate before injuries took over, he had a big hand in their win yesterday against the Padres.
The 36th for Ketel Marte.
Diamondbacks radio is a 2-run shot. Arizona wins 11-2 over the Padres, so they stay alive. The Mets beat the Brewers 5-6, 5-0 rather. Francisco Lindor, he hit a home run. Right now, the Mets and the Braves are playing game one of a doubleheader because this has a major playoff implication to it. The Diamondbacks need one of these two teams to sweep the doubleheader. If the Mets and the Braves split, they both get into the playoffs. The Diamondbacks need one or the other to make it happen here. So that's what they're doing. They're just sitting back waiting for things to unfold. Tigers will play the Astros tomorrow at 2:30. Skubal against Valdez. Orioles taking on the Royals. It's Reagans for them. Corbin Burns for the Orioles. Brewers wait to see whether it's going to be the Diamondbacks or the Mets. Same thing with the Padres, whether it's going to be the Braves or the Mets. So a very important thing happening right now. The Yankees, number one seed in the American League, and the Dodgers, the number one seed in the National League. And how about old Luis Arraez winning the batting title? Third straight year he's done it with 3 different teams and prevents Shohei Ohtani from getting the triple crown in the National League. So that's your fun going on in Major League Baseball. We'll keep you up to date on the score here. Bottom of the first in Atlanta. It is scoreless with the Braves at the plate. But needless to say, tons of baseball drama. Tomorrow, we will be down at Pickles Pub getting you ready for that game one against Kansas City from 12 to 2. It's going to be Jason Lockefort, Tim Barbalace, and longtime voice of the Orioles, Jim Hunter. And then from 2 to 4, it is me, Ryan Ripken, and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, getting you ready for that first one. From 2 to 3, we're going to be previewing it up. And then from 3 to 4, it's going to be BBT with lineups and news and cuts and all the fun stuff goes along with it. There's a workout today, Oriole Park and Camden Yards, and both teams are going to meet with the media as well later on in the afternoon. So playoff baseball, second consecutive year, first time that's happened in Baltimore since 1996, 1997, and the first time since 1982, 1983 The Orioles have had back-to-back 90-plus win seasons. So pretty impressive stuff going on here for a team that just three short years ago was the worst team in Major League Baseball. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We got time to get a call in? You say yes? You say yes, he says. So that benefits you, Eric in Fenwick Island. Eric, thanks for holding. Welcome to the show. And thank Nolan McGraw.
Hey, guys. Thanks, Nolan. And also, thanks for taking my call. I got a question for you guys. I don't know if you got to see the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Marlon Humphreys. Did either of you guys see it?
I saw it.
Yeah. Decked him. Just decked that guy. I've not seen that something like that from a Ravens player. I remember, Hines Ward pulling one of those kind of deals on Gary Baxter when he was on top of me. He did the eye poke thing. But I've never seen that, like as flagrant as that was. Have you guys?
I don't recall. How about the one where the guy hit Ricard?
Oh, he got drilled.
Yeah.
I mean, it got a little chippy there as things were kind of getting out of control. There were some sideline extracurriculars, it seemed, with the laundry not being thrown at the time. But, I mean, would you send in meshes here if you're Marlon Humphrey? I mean, what are you trying to accomplish? Or just a dumb play?
Yeah, I would say just a dumb play.
Well, Hines Ward, the other infamous one, if you're a Ravens fan, where he blew up Ed Reed 50 yards away from the play. Was that the playoff game?
I don't know when it was.
That was a regular season game. The playoff game is when Willis McGahee, Ryan Clark, hit him in the AFC Championship game during Harbaugh and Joe Flacco's first season. Look, that sort of thing has happened in the history of the National Football League, and it used to be celebrated. Now it's all about player safety, so you don't see those things repeated over and over and over again. Player safety. Play 18 games, play on Tuesday.
Well, how about this?
Play on Wednesday. It's center, all about player safety.
Bob, the center, when he went out, they gave him his helmet back, and he went back in, and then they called down and said, no, you hadn't been cleared yet. Get back out. That was the delay in the game yesterday.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, we're going to look at our picks from yesterday and throughout the weekend in college football and beyond. We'll do our picks for tonight's two games. It's a Monday Night Football doubleheader. We'll talk about that. We'll look at the schedule as well. Ravens go to Cincinnati. We know that. But what else is happening in the world of college and pro football? That it's a funhouse trip. And Nolan McGraw, Mr. Electricity, wants to drop a lightning bolt of fun on you with his funhouse trip.
You can pick your friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
Well, booze is on the line, which is always fun. Because you can't go wrong with booze. Actually, you can in many different ways. Drink responsibly, everybody. But beer for me and Nolan. Mick Ultra here. Yingling over there. Vinny Wine. We're trying to get to the goal, which is free beer or free wine. And I don't know how this weekend went in regards to the National Football League for these guys, but it didn't go well for me. But before we get to it, let's get the old standings update heading into this weekend's fun. Nolan McGraw.
Bob was in the lead at 40-27. Vinny not far behind, 38-29. And I was bringing up the rear, 36-31.
Said that in a very past tense way, too. It was in the lead. But anyway, let's get to the college football stuff. We'll start at Maryland. Terps at Indiana. They lose by 14. They were 6.5-point dogs at kickoff. Game was tied. Then it got away from them. Terps forced the four turnovers. We talked about it. Just couldn't get over the hump. I took Maryland.
Yep, Bob, your loyalty backfired on you. Vinny and myself took Indiana.
Well, good for you. We got Louisville at Notre Dame.
Here's one. I took a chance. I can never pick Notre Dame games. My gut is wrong. The reverse of my gut is wrong. It's just I'm cursed. You guys had the Irish. I had Louisville.
High scoring game, too.
Yeah, and Notre Dame fumbled the opening kickoff, and Louisville scored on their first possession.
The game of the year so far.
Yes.
Alabama against Georgia.
Well, we were all rolling with the tide on this one.
They were blowing them out. Kirby Smart, what now, 1-7, I believe, against Alabama?
Yeah.
No matter who the coach is. Illinois at Penn State?
Yeah, this one was close early. We all went with Penn State, though.
Yeah, the Illini hung around there for a little bit.
I mean, 21-7. It was 14-7 for the longest of times.
So 3-1 was the old Bobster in college. And you guys were 4-0.
2-2.
Oh, Nolan.
Yeah.
What?
All right. NFL. New Orleans at Atlanta. This was a dramatic game. Went down to the final play. Basically, Young Hay kicked the game-winning field goal. His fourth of the day.
Big game winner there. Vinny and myself enjoying that for the Falcons. Bob, you decided to go with the Saints.
And Taysom Hill had two TDs. Then he got knocked out of the game. Kamara scored.
Yeah.
So New Orleans, after a brilliant 2-0 start, coming back to maybe where a lot of people thought they would be. Average. Top pairs against the Rams.
We all had Chicago, although we weren't very enthusiastic about it, but a win is a win for them.
And Caleb Williams' quarterback rating was, what, 100?
Yeah.
He did all right. And DeAndre Swift, how about him getting out of mothballs, had a big day, both running and receiving.
Yeah, I mean, he made some really nice runs. I mean, Bob, that kind of shows when you block for him a little bit.
Yeah, Rams are probably in big trouble here.
Yeah, they got so many guys hurt.
Green Bay at Minnesota, rather, at Green Bay.
Well, we thought the Vikings were going to come back down to earth. Yeah. Still hasn't happened. Big win for them. We all had the pack in that one.
Duh. Minnesota was blowing them out.
Yeah.
Green Bay's kicker missed a couple field goals there, which probably puts him in a precarious situation.
I imagine he's probably gone today. But number 44.
Yeah. Minnesota 4-0 in the year. Steelers at Indy.
All right. Here's my victory lap. I went with the Colts. Didn't see Flacco coming in. That wasn't part of my crystal ball prediction, but I will take that. You guys had the Steelers.
Yeah, it kind of sucks from us losing this pick.
Yeah.
Thing, but the Steelers losing, I think,
that was big.
Good for the division there. And the Colts get to 500. Jets host Denver.
Boy, this was ugly. Uglier than the weather there at the Meadowlands. We all had the Jets thinking that that defense would, you know, dominate the Broncos.
They
and
did.
To be fair, they did.
Yeah.
But the Broncos also just as dominant.
Yeah. Yeah. Snooze fest was
in the
rain.
Game. Yes.
Philadelphia, Tampa.
We were all expecting an Eagles win here. The injuries were part of our predictions, although the Bucs ended up getting more fortunate there. Mike Evans played, had a big game.
Vita Vea.
Right, he played as well.
Yeah.
And I guess that made the difference, so all of us taking the L on that one.
Yeah, old Jalen Hurts needs to protect the ball a little bit.
Yes, he does.
I like to put that thing on the ground. And Tampa, they had lost at home to Denver. And Baker Mayfield was running for his life in that one. Outside of that game, Mayfield's playing like a pretty strong quarterback.
Yes, he looks really good.
He had to kiss Tom Brady's ass, though, because he said some things that may have been offensive to Tom Brady fans or maybe Tom Brady himself. Cincinnati. Oh, it was at Carolina.
Yeah.
You were right, Vinny. Cincinnati at Carolina.
That's it's weird because the Bengals are wearing their home uniforms. Anyway.
Well, that's because as a home team at the beginning of the year, you have your choice. And I'm guessing, just like the Cowboys always wear white at home, but the reason Carolina would is that time of the year,
right,
probably
hot.
Hot and humid.
Well, Bobby took a chance on the Panthers in this one. It did not work. But Vinny and myself had the Bengals.
Yeah, imagine me. Hey, who wants to be in first place and get free beer? We don't need any of that stinking nonsense. How about Jacksonville at Houston?
We didn't have to think too hard about this one. Everyone was picking the Texans pretty easily, pretty convincingly.
Well, it was a better game
than
a lot of people.
Jacksonville, Lawrence played better.
They covered the spread, but, man, they're 0-4. And Houston, nice bounce back win after getting blown out by Minnesota. And who, Tank Dell? Oh, Nico Collins is having a brilliant season for them so far. How about Washington and Arizona?
Yeah.
Well, here's a chance that paid off for you.
Yeah.
Bob took the Commanders, Vinny and myself, Cardinals.
Ugh.
Blowout, puffy pants, see you, wouldn't want to be you. Especially in the second half, they pulled away.
And they're 3-1. I mean, they're in first place.
First place.
Are the Cardinals a little fraudulent here?
Blowing
the week one lead and now this.
They might be a lot fraudulent. New England at San Francisco. Nobody could have screwed this
one. Right. It's an easy pick for everyone here with the Niners.
Cleveland at the Vegas Raiders.
Guess this should have been easy for everyone but me. I took the Browns for some strange reason. But the Raiders did get the win. Another one for you, too.
KC at the Chargers.
Another close one. Chiefs find a way. They always do. But yeah, we all saw it coming. Took the Chiefs.
And then Buffalo at Baltimore.
Bob with the Bills. Vinny and myself with the Ravens. Although nobody daring enough to predict that level of a blowout.
No, I had 10-point victory.
Right. 1-point victory for me.
And I had Buffalo winning, and they didn't even come close. So tonight, we got Tennessee at Miami. Gentlemen, your selection for this game. Let's get the spread real quick. BetMGM says Miami -2.5. Tyler Huntley, Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Dolphins. Two bad teams. Going on the road. So Tennessee's going on the road, so I'll take the home team.
Yeah, I like the Dolphins here, too. Get the ball to Tyreek Hill in the screen game, the short passes. You don't have to throw a deep bomb to him. Just get the ball in his hands. Let him do the rest.
I'm going to take Tennessee. I think Levis, he's going to limit the turnovers. Maybe Pollard has a big day against Miami, so I'll take the road team.
How about his mayonnaise commercial? You see that?
Yeah.
Where he does the splits.
Yeah. I mean, wash the mayonnaise off your hands before you play. Gets a little slick out there. And then you got Seattle at Detroit. Lions -4, it looks like here.
I'm taking a home team again. I'll take Detroit. And I would like it if Seattle could win for Mike McDonald. But I think Detroit's got too much. Although, last year, Mike McDonald, he tortured the Lions when they were here.
And for that reason, I am picking the Seahawks in this one. They're going to go on the road, get a big win, move to 4-0.
I hope you're right.
I'll go with the Lions. Aiden Hutchinson leads the NFL in sacks with 6.5. Kyle Van Noy second, by the way, but Hutchinson hasn't played. So for here, obviously, in week 4, I will take the home team, a game you can hear on 105.7 The Fan. Just like tomorrow when the Orioles take on the Kansas City Royals, game 1 of the American League Wild Card Series. You can hear that game, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, tell you what our programming is going to look like for that first game and hopefully for 1 or 2 more. When we come back, however, it's a Funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. Then Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock.
Vinny and Haney's keys to the game.
We're doing a hell of a job. We're resilient. We're moving on. And we're playing our ass off. It's an NFL football game right here.
105.7 The Fan.
Well, the Ravens laid waste to the Bills last night. National TV. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Every Friday before the Ravens play, Vinny does his keys. Let's get to it.
All right. Number 1 was be the most physical team. They definitely were. Both sides of the ball up front. The O-line and the D-line. Absolutely. Number 2, have the best quarterback on the field. Lamar played, threw the ball well, ran the ball well, ran the offense well.
135 quarterback rating.
Yep.
He wins.
Number 3, tackle well. Because we said the ball was going to come out. I mean, how quick was that ball coming out? The quick screens, boom, boom, boom. And they did a hell of a job tackling. I mean, there was some tackles that, you would want to show a youth football team on how to tackle. And then last but not least, have the best special teams on the field. Yeah, the Ravens really, they punted well, covered well, and they missed the field goal, and the Ravens didn't.
Yep. Inside 50, too,
yeah,
was the field goal
and,
there.
And it was ugly. He missed a bad left.
Like Tucker did against Dallas the week before. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Now, tomorrow, Ken Wyman's going to be in from 10 to 12 with Vinny. And then down at Pickles from 12 to 2, it's going to be Tim Barbalace, Jason Lockefora, and Jim Hunter. And then from 2 to 4, it's going to be me, Ryan Ripken, and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Borda getting you ready for game 1 of the AL Wild Card Series. Corbin Burns against Cole Reagans as the Orioles and Royals get it on, renewing acquaintances 10 years after the ALCS, where the Royals swept the Orioles on their way to a World Series appearance against the Giants, which they lost in 7 games, then came back the next year and won the World Championship. So there we go with that one. Nolan, any closing thoughts for the people here?
No, let's let the people speak for themselves.
Let's do it.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, we'll get the obligatory Harbaugh text out of the way here first. Eric in Bel Air says, you can't give away the first down with an incompetent back-to-back timeout call. When he ends up doing this in January, Kansas City will take advantage. Mahomes turns that into points. Ravens lose the game. It'll be too late at that point. So not pleased with Harbaugh's timeouts there, Eric and Bel Air.
Right, and they need to learn from that, and they need to figure out how it won't happen again. That's, you know, I mean, you won 35-10, cool. But, you know, when you look at, you know, you evaluate the players, all right, let's evaluate our game day operation. How do we improve upon that? Because if that happens, it can't happen in a critical situation, you know, in a game.
I thought Tirico and Collinsworth made an interesting point when they were recapping the whole situation. Said that usually a ref in that situation just ignores the coach to kind of bail him out.
Right.
And then goes back to him after the play, said, hey, you can't call a timeout there. That's why I ignored you. But it's not the ref's job to do that. Harbaugh has to know better.
Yeah. And you know what's funny, Norm, about that is Joe Gibbs did it against Buffalo. You know, against Buffalo, and it cost us the game because they got into field goal range and they won last-second field goal.
This one here, Texter says, Flowers maybe didn't show up in the stat sheet, but he never takes a playoff, hustles before the snap, runs his route at 100% speed all game, opens things up for other players. Love the way he plays.
Amen. Amen. You can't bitch about the way he plays. I mean, they all play hard. They all compete, and when they get the ball in their hands, they all do well.
To that point here, Texter says, Ravens offense much more potent and dangerous when they spread it around instead of trying to force everything to Flowers and Andrews.
I agree, you know, because they all have things that they can do. I mean, look at Likely gets a big play, and Bateman gets a big play. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Another one here. Texter says, it almost feels like weeks 1 and 2 were still the preseason for the Ravens. Last 2 weeks, Dallas and Buffalo, much better indication of who the team actually is.
I totally agree with that, too. I think, yeah, because it takes a while. When you hadn't played and you got you don't know what you do well yet because you hadn't played any preseason games, they were learning, and it cost them early on.
This one here on the run game, it's been successful so far this year. This texter, though, wants to know, just wondering how much, if anything, will change if Keaton Mitchell is able to come back at some point this season.
Well, if he's Keaton Mitchell, what he was last year, I mean, having more great players on the field is not a bad thing. And he can do things that nobody else on that team can do.
I'm hesitant to read this one here on the Orioles from Chris, but I like Chris, so let it slide here, but we have risk of a jinx here. Says, I'm 90% confident the Orioles will get to the ALCS without much difficulty. I see Burns and Eflin dominating, and the Orioles own the Yankees this season. They might as well change their stadium name to Camden Yards North. Ooh,
well, I wouldn't get that cocky with that assessment, but I like your positivity there, Chris. We'll get into the breakdown tomorrow when we're on the air, but if the Orioles fail in the postseason, it's not going to be 2-for-11 with runners in scoring position. It's going to be they're in the lead late, and then things are going to implode at the back end of the bullpen for them if they falter. But let's take it one game at a time. There's your cliche to wrap it up here. Right now, bottom of the third in Atlanta, the Mets and the Braves are scoreless with all sorts of playoff implications and ramifications there. John Harbaugh meets with the media coming up in about another hour or so.
Yeah.
So Harbsy talking about his team now back at 500 and other things going on as well. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Inside Access is coming up next. Vinny, I'll see you Thursday at the earliest.
Thursday, yes. Hopefully Thursday or Friday with Happy Face.
Let's say Thursday, talking about the Yankees. How's that go? For Nolan, Vinny, Bob, got Inside Access next. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, I'll class this morning.